Welcome back to the Whitetail Watch podcast. On today's episode, our topic is going to be all day sits during the rut. And my guest is going to be Scott Reinman of our Midwest Whitetail Pro staff. Scott and Paul Marshall have been hunting during the rut and having tons of success, especially in the middle of the day, for several years. You can actually catch up on several of their hunts on the Midwest Whitetail Main Show. I'll attach a few links here below in the description so you can go and watch a few of their hunts. But the main reason why I wanted to get Scott on today is because they have killed, I don't know how many bucks. I mean, it's got to be close to a dozen bucks in the middle of the day out of just a couple of tree stands in the rut. And they sit all day long. They put their time in and a lot of times sit many, many hours without seeing any deer. So today I'm going to pick Scott's brain on what they're doing, how they're setting up their tree stands for the rut, how they're managing their time so that they can hunt the entire first 2 weeks of November, and what makes up these great stand locations. So without wasting any more time, I want to go ahead and give Scott a call and start talking some deer hunting.
Hello, Scott.
Hey, Scott. What's going on? It's Aaron calling.
Hey, Aaron. How you doing tonight?
Oh, pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Just sitting here playing with my three-year-old son a little bit.
Yeah, there you go. Cool.
Yeah, got to spend a little family time when I can.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, man. Have you been out shed hunting yet?
No. Up here in northern Illinois and southern Wisconsin, we've been keeping an eye and pulling trail cameras still, and I think some of my deer are about 80% still holding horns.
Yep, I'd agree with you.
They're not dropping. One of my friends, he was out last night looking around with the binocs off the road, and he sent me a lot of pictures of deer still holding horns. So I think we're going to hold off so we don't scare them out of our properties until a lot more shed anyway.
Sure, makes sense. I don't know what the deal is. It's the same scenario over here in southern Iowa. Most of ours are still holding too.
Yeah, we got great weather here though for being end of January and February.
Sure. So. Well, on today's episode, I've already kind of laid things out for our listeners. I want to touch on all day sits in the middle of the rut, and I've got a bunch of questions that I want to ask you.
Okay.
First of all, kind of lay out the type of terrain that you guys are hunting in, and the age structure of bucks that you're dealing with. The terrain is the main thing, though. Just kind of walk folks through what kind of terrain you and Paul are hunting in southern Wisconsin, northern Illinois.
Well, a lot of our ground that we're hunting is flat ground. I mean, we have a little, little dropping terrain here and there. My family farm in Wisconsin, we hunt a big slope there that leads to a creek. And my favorite spot there in that farm, I mean, it's kind of a pinch point where a big ditch leads into the creek, and it's a good pinch point. But most of our farms are just pretty much flat, and we try to, hunt around sloughs or rivers or anything that will, pinch the deer by our stands more.
Sure, that makes sense. And what kind of age structure bucks are you typically dealing with? I mean, I've watched you guys stack them up over the years in the rut. But I don't know that we've ever really talked about how old some of those bucks are that you're killing. What's the age structure look like in that area?
I mean, our Wisconsin one, it's a small farm. There's a lot of hunting pressure around there. I typically will shoot a 3.5-year-old or older up there just because it's just the age structure up there. It's hard to get a 4.5 or a 5.5 mature old deer with a lot of people hunting around that area. When we get down into northern Illinois there, we try to typically hold off to shoot 4.5-year-olds or older down there in some of our farms.
Okay, yeah, that makes perfect sense. And, I ask that question simply because a lot of our viewers are in the same situation. I mean, not everybody is hunting the primo areas of the U.S., and they have realistic expectations. And a mature buck in their area may be a 2-year-old if they're hunting in Michigan, whereas like you said, Wisconsin, Missouri, a good 3.5-year-old is a realistic target. Illinois and Iowa, a 4.5-5.5-year-old buck is a realistic target. But you guys have killed so many good bucks in the middle of the day, and man, I really want to pick your brain on that. How many have you and Paul killed during the middle of the day?
You know, Aaron, I was thinking about that today. Paul and I mean, I want to say almost two, I mean, 8-10 deer lately since we've been with Midwest Whitetail. I mean, there's a couple sets that we, I mean, we have two stands that every year, if we get the right wind and it's going to be all day, we'll set all day long. And, I mean, there's a lot of deer, and we've shot around the noon hour. Our biggest buck was a buck I called Wacky Rack. Paul ended up shooting him, and it was, like, right at noon. And we've been saying it was a real cold day, but, I mean, he was about 183-inch deer. So, but we've shot a lot of deer midday.
Yeah, I remember watching that video. That was out of the Skinny Pinch stand, correct?
Correct. We have a good 5-year stretch here for a while at the Skinny Pinch, and a lot of big bucks shot out of there.
How many times did you guys sit that stand total?
That year, or
just over what? over that span of time? It seemed like every year you were going in there, it was the first or second time in, and you were killing a buck.
Correct. And it's true. I mean, it's a good stand. I mean, the viewers, they always see the high points. They don't see the low points where a lot of mature bucks come through that. And that gap is 55 to 60 yards wide, Aaron. And any buck that comes in there, they're not always going to get a shot. They're really tense. They're really spooky in that area. I mean, they come through there and they just kind of, you know, they come through their cruise, and sometimes they stop when we grunt at them, or sometimes they just take off running.
Sure. That makes sense, too. I mean, when a mature buck gets pinched down in an area like that, I mean, they're going through there because they have to be, I'm assuming.
Yep. I mean, they're coming in there scent checking for does. I mean, that spot, I mean, there's a lot of people that love to hunt that spot. But, I mean, it hasn't been really productive the last 2 years for Paul and I. That property is a 255-acre property that sits there. And we only have 4 stands on that property. And we never touch that property all of October unless, I mean, a buck shows up the second or third week that I know that Paul or I can get a shot at. We won't even go on that property until the 1st of November.
Yep. And that kind of leads me into my next question here. We're going to circle back to the Maple Grove stand and the Skinny Pinch stand. Those are the two best stands I'm assuming you're talking about there. And
yep,
we'll dive into the details about those in just a little bit, but first let's kind of go through some general tips about hunting all day in the middle of the rut. When do you guys start to sit all day? Is there a specific date in mind?
Yeah, I mean, usually around our area it's November 1st. I mean, I take 2 weeks off of vacation, and Paul does too, and we usually sit for, you know, 13-14 days. We'll take that 14 days and we try to, you know, shoot as many bucks as we can on those 14 days. But a lot of times we've been seeing about the couple days for Halloween, like the 29th and 30th, then the bucks have been really moving lately the last couple years that we've been noticing. But that first 14 days of November, that's where we make our season right there, Paul and I do.
So you guys are basically just all year long. I mean, you're still out there setting stands and running cameras and scouting and doing all that, but that's what you're working for, is just that first 2 weeks of November.
That's what we're working for, is that first 2 weeks of November and that late season. I mean, Paul and I we got tons of food plots. I mean, he's got a lot of food plots in Missouri. I have probably 4 acres in Wisconsin. In Illinois, him and I together probably have another 4 or 5 acres of food plots, but our late season just hasn't been working out great for us because we haven't had the big bucks to hunt late seasons.
Well, that's because you guys are shooting them all in the middle of the rut.
Yeah, we've had some real good years. I think, you know, 2014 was a real good year for us. I think him and I were bucked out in Illinois and before, like, the 10th of November or 12th of November. So we've had real good times in November. But that's what we set up for. I mean, we love our first 14 days of November, which a lot of people do.
Yep. And, I mean, you hear that all the time about people taking their vacation during that time frame, but the point I want to stress here is I know how you guys hunt. I mean, you sit there in the stand all day.
Yep.
And, I mean, what are some more good tips you can give somebody that's planning on hunting during the middle of the day in the rut or wanting to hunt all day? And why do you think bucks move so well during the middle of the day?
You know, the tips are, I mean, it's easier for us. We got two people to interact in the stand. I mean, having a cameraman with you all the time, just two people in the stand, it helps out, I'll be honest with you. But, I mean, I don't, like I tell everybody, all my friends, all the people I talk to when I see them or people that message me on Facebook and stuff, I just tell them, I said, you know, if you got to read a book, if you got to take, you know, spare chargers for your bat, you know, for your cell phone so you can play games or text message, I said, the thing is just being in the stand all day.
Sure.
I really believe that the couple stands that we have that we know are so productive that it's that 10 o'clock hour. I think those bucks, you know, they'll drop a doe at any time. Everybody believes in a lot of people believe in the lull. And there is, I mean, I know there's a peak there 4 or 5 days in November that a lot of does are in heat, but a buck's going to drop a doe, and you never know if it's going to be 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, noon, 1, 2, 3, and he's going to be looking. And he's going to go from bedding area to bedding area. And the does are bedded down midday, so I think that's why we're so successful is we're setting all day long, and one of our mature bucks are dropping a doe middle of the day or dropped a doe, and he's searching for another hot doe middle of the day, and we're just in the right spot at the right time, Aaron.
Yeah, and sometimes you guys don't see, you know, deer for several hours on end, right?
No. I mean, it was 2015. It was not this year, it was last year when I shot Alan. I don't think we didn't see a deer until he was the first deer we saw, actually, and we harvested him. We didn't get out in the stand until 9:30. My wife, she was sick in the morning, and I couldn't find a babysitter, and my mom wasn't available to watch my son, so we couldn't get in the stand until about 8:30, 9 o'clock. I think it was about 9:30 we got in the stand.
Wow.
But yeah.
And that was a super hot day too, if I remember right, wasn't it?
It was that year was really hot. I think, you know, honestly, it was probably 60, high 60s, maybe low 70s that day. It was just like this year. I mean, this year was a warm day when I shot that deer I called Niche, you know, on the same stand. It was a real warm day, too. I want to say mid-60s.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's just, the rut's the rut, Aaron. I mean, a lot of people say, you know, it's hot, I ain't seen deer. I mean, you're looking for a couple deer to shoot. I mean, your buck, if people have in mind, they got trail camera pictures of theirs, they know what they want to shoot. If it's 70 degrees, if it's 30 degrees, it doesn't matter. I mean, the deer are going to run. I mean, they might not run as much when it's hot out, but they're still going to be searching, looking for hot does.
Sure. And that makes perfect sense in the rut. I think those bucks prefer to cruise that time. It seems like it anyway, because we see the same thing on public land, except we see more cruising during the latter part of November because there's so much hunting pressure in the early part. But I almost think sometimes if a buck's going to cruise, he'd rather those does be bedded, you know, and cruise by those bedding areas where he's used to them being at in that thick cover.
Yep, and we've noticed that too. I mean, that's why, I mean, bedding area midday, you know, they know where the group of does are all bedded up. They're going to cruise through those areas looking for a hot doe. It just kind of leads me to the last of October. That's why a lot of guys are seeing a lot of deer in the food plots or in the feed fields because they're looking for that first doe and heat.
Sure. Well, those are some good tips. What do you think is your ideal setup for a midday tree stand? When you guys are scouting or looking over a property or whatever and you're planning your rut hunts, what makes up the ideal spot for one of these stand locations that you're killing all these bucks out of?
Well, we hunt a lot of, I mean, all our ground's flat, so there's not too many, you know, I want to say terrain differences, you know, not no gullies or anything like that. We use water down here in northern Illinois, like a slough, I'd say the maple grove set. That there's a drop in terrain, and it kind of comes from some higher ground. It's just a little drop in terrain, which is about 6 feet, and then down further about 80 yards, there's a slough. I call it a duck pond. The deer, they just cruise out of one bedding area, which is some big grass in the neighboring property, and they cruise into the woods to kind of search through hot does for hot does and cruising from the maple grove set. They cruise kind of down through the woods and go into the skinny pinch.
I see. So it all kind of links together on that property then.
It all links together in that 255 acres, yep.
What do you think that, why do you think they love that water so much? I mean, I've noticed that too, especially with mature bucks on public just in the last couple of years. That buck that I shot this year on public, he was actually following a string of beaver sloughs right down through there. Yep. And my buddy Dan Infault swears by it. He says mature bucks absolutely love being close to water like that. I think because they know a predator can't get to them from that direction. But
I think you're correct on that. You know, and I think they cruise that also is because they know the does go through pinch points and stuff, and I think they're just kind of, I want to say, cutting their miles off their body looking for a hot doe.
Sure.
You know, they just kind of looking through their little structure and their, you know, pinch points too, so they don't have to cover as much ground.
How many times in the rut do you guys sit these stands that you're sitting all day? Will you just continuously sit them over and over again, or are you one of those guys that likes to just go in there at the perfect time and kill one the first time in?
Paul and I, when we go in, if we get a north wind or a northwest wind for the skinny pinch and it's 6 days in a row, we're going to hunt it all 6 days here. It doesn't, we're going to set it because we know bucks will cruise in there eventually. It's just, you got to be in there all day to catch a buck.
Sure.
I think Paul and I are so successful because we leave our properties. We don't hunt them too much in October to burn. I don't want to burn or push the does out of the area or out of my properties. So they're in there, and the bucks know they're in there. So when breeding season does come, that these bucks are going to be in there cruising for looking for those does.
I got you. Makes sense. We'll circle back now to that skinny pinch stand. Many of you listening can watch all the hunts that have happened from there over the years. And like Scott said a minute ago, we get to watch all the fun stuff, but not all of the work and the waiting in the stand for the bucks to come by. You might go into a little more detail on why that stand works so well and what characteristics like habitat types and stuff are in the general area of that spot.
Well, to the south of the stand is river. So the deer, you know, they're going to pinch up toward the slough, and to the north is the slough. If you go west of the skinny pinch, it's more open woods, and then the neighboring property is all nothing but like swamp grass and CRP grass. So those bucks come out of there cruising for a doe, and then they'll come up into the pinch through the skinny pinch. And the skinny pinch consists of about 22 acres, and it's a bowl. It's kind of an old slough. And what happened is they straightened the river out there way back in the 60s to kind of put a bridge across. And when they put the bridge across, they straightened it out and it's a main highway. So the deer don't really want to go in there, Aaron, past the skinny pinch to go across the highway. They just come in, cruise that 22 acres, and then come right back out. And that 22 acres in there, it's really thick and really a lot of wind blowing down trees. And there's a dried up slough usually, and I can get about an acre or an acre and a half of frigid forage, big and beastly in there. Or this year I put autumn quick plot.
Sure. That makes sense. And I've heard you say in the stand a bunch of times, you know, there's only one way in and one way out of there. And by leaving that thing alone all year, you're making those does comfortable back in there. So you guys go in there and hunt it, and the bucks cruise right up through it. Makes total sense now that you lay it out, you know.
Yeah, I think pressure really does a lot of things. I mean, I know everybody wants to get out there in October. You know, that first, right when the season opens, they want to get out there and they want to hunt. And Paul and I, we also get out there and hunt right away, but we hunt a lot of our, you know, fence rows or small little woods or some of our properties where, you know, we can go out, hunt, enjoy our company and, you know, shoot a couple does. Or if one of us do have a bigger buck on camera, we'll go in there, sneak in there once or twice early October and try to get a shot at them.
Well, you just brought up running cameras on bucks. And that's one of the interesting things with following you guys. A lot of our pro staff are using trail cameras to fully pattern deer. And, you know, I mean, they're relying on them very heavily. And you all definitely use them, but in Illinois, you can't run them over bait. So what kind of trail camera strategy do you guys employ throughout the year from start to finish?
I mean, I use a lot of, sometimes in most of our stands, you know, like the Skinny Pinch, of course, I run about 4 or 5 cameras right there just in that area so I can cover east, west, north, south, all that area for deer coming in and out. And then basically we're just trying to, you know, I get a couple of the major trails over by the Maple Grove set. I have a camera on most of the major trails, and hopefully we catch one of the bucks coming in and out right there. And I use mock scrapes and do some mock scrapes, hoping to catch the bucks and get them conditioned to that area for using a scrape. And I can kind of keep an eye on them also.
Sure. Yeah, it's interesting. Y'all have killed most of the bucks that you've killed, you've known about. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, you're correct. We had one buck that we called a surprise, and I think it was in 2014 when I shot Phil out of the Maple Grove set. I shot that big 10-pointer really early morning out of the Skinny Pinch that next couple days later. And that's the only buck that we just never knew about.
I see. Are most of those bucks that are coming out of the Maple Grove and Skinny Pinch are all four plus, right?
4 plus, yep. We think, Paul and I think Wacky, that one, he was 183. We think he looked young, long-legged. We think he was a 4.5-year-old. Paul kind of believes that he was a 3.5-year-old.
Yeah, and you guys had pictures of him year prior, right?
Year prior, yeah. Year prior, he was probably 130. He was damaged on his left side. He was probably 135 inches that year, yep.
I see.
So he was a big surprise when I got pictures of him that next summer. We were really shocked because that's one of the biggest bucks that we've been chasing for a long time.
Right, right. Yeah, it's crazy how many big ones you guys have had walk right up underneath of that set. The first one that came out of there would have been Stickers. Was that in 2009 or 10?
Oh, man, when did we start with... Midwest Lighttail, 2010 probably?
I believe it was 2010.
Okay, 2010, yep. So the Skinny Pinch really didn't start rolling until we started hunting for Midwest Lighttail. We've had a lot of deer we couldn't get stopped in there and everything else, but I mean, God was on our side ever since we started videoing for you guys.
That's cool. How does your access set up for that area? You've obviously hunted real careful. But how do you guys get in and out of there?
Well, we just got our way. We get in and out of here. I don't. There's enough neighbors and stuff like that. I just don't want to talk about how we get in and out of that area.
Oh, sure, sure.
I mean, I can tell you, we use the same strategy as you guys use in the public area.
I got you. Nice.
We can get in without getting detected. I mean, it's just we got a short little access to the stand, and that's it.
Right.
You know, which works out really good. So, I mean, you can kind of figure out how we get in there.
Right, right. And that probably helps you check cameras and everything without leaving a bunch of scent in there throughout the season.
Yes, it does. Yep. Yep. It does. I kind of leave it alone. I check it once, maybe this, you know, right away before October to make sure there's nothing big coming in and out of there. And then I wait until like the second or third week.
Yeah.
So then I go in there right before, and then usually I'll go in probably right before rut to see, hopefully we got a big buck coming in and out of there so we can set that stand on the first north or northwest wind for a rut hunt.
Yeah. Do you guys, you obviously hunt all day, but do you think it's better to hunt midday than morning or evening in the rut, or have y'all had success hunting all three?
It's all three. I mean, it could happen in the morning. It could happen midday. If we don't see a lot of deer early in the morning, it usually picks up, or we usually end up harvesting a big buck midday for Paul and I. I mean, it's turned out really good. I mean, there's been days that we've set all day. I want to say when Paul shot Wacky, I want to say we only had one smaller little four-corn buck come in there the whole morning. Into the Skinny Pinch. I mean, it's set up like that. I mean, it's kind of crazy, you know. that you don't see no deer. And I mean, your hopes really go downhill really quick, and it's a real long day if you sit in there for the first 6-7 hours and don't see a deer.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have some serious resolve to sit in there all day. Like you said, we do the same thing on public, and we try to sit midday or all day if we can. And it's a lot easier if you got somebody in the stand with you, but I can't tell you how many times we've sat there 5, 6, 7 hours straight without seeing anything and then looked up and there's a buck cruising. And, you know, most of the time it's a mature buck.
And you're right on that. I mean, there's a lot of times we'll sit there and sit there and sit there and there's nothing and there's nothing. I mean, you do. You get down in the dumps and you hope that something's coming and you keep that positive attitude. And, you know, you got to stick it out all day. And there's a lot of times that Paul and I mean, people wouldn't believe it. We might only see 2 deer sitting all day long, you know, and people think, you know, we tell people that and they think we're crazy. But, I mean, there's been days that we might see less than 3 or 4 deer sitting there from sun up to sundown.
Sure. All right, my next question on my list here is another one that applies to the average guy that we get a lot, and it's how do you guys manage your vacation time for work and, you know, daily family life and stuff? You said that you take off the first 2 weeks of November. Is that just when both you and Paul have your vacation?
That's when Paul and I, we've done vacation. We've done that way. We've been doing it for probably 10, 12, 13 years together. And I usually try to, what I do is I get 5 weeks of vacation there, and then I try to take half of it for my hunting and then half of it for my family. So it makes everybody happy, you know. I mean, I like going out there. I like hunting that first couple of weeks, and I just enjoy it. You know, my wife knows I enjoy it, and so she kind of lets me kind of do what I enjoy and what I like to do.
Sure. That's awesome. I mean, and that's just another way to look at it. I mean, guys are always trying to think of ways they can get out in the woods and be productive. You know, there's the weekend warriors, and then there's those that take a day here and there depending on conditions. But the way you guys do it definitely works. Just take it all at once and use every bit of it that you can in the tree. And
yep, and I mean,
it's definitely paid off.
Yep, you just, I mean, every daylight minute, you just got to stay in that tree. You know, you just got to stay focused. It's a real drag, you know, 4 or 5 days in when you're sitting all day long. I mean, I come home at night and my wife goes, "Well, you've been sitting in the tree. Why are you so tired? Or why are you so ornery?" You know, that wind and that weather beats you up swaying in that tree for 10, 12 hours a day.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, a couple years ago, you killed a really big buck in Missouri. That was in 2015, right? Or was that this year?
That would have been, it was last year. It was 2015. That was the first year Paul and I hunted his parents' property out there. So that had been 2015.
Yeah, and you were sick as a dog in the tree stand, if I remember correctly.
Yep. That year, I want to say it was, Paul went buckless that whole year, believe it or not. I mean, that's the first in a long time that Paul went buckless. I know I shot Alan, I want to say, the first of November in Illinois, and it got hot on us, and we were sitting all day, and it was dragging, and we just decided we got to pick up and head to Missouri. And we went to Missouri and hunted, and it was hot out there, too, and we hunted and hunted and hunted, and Paul shot that regular collared turkey.
Yep.
And that was cool. I mean, that's a trophy in a lifetime right there. And Paul finally said, he goes, "You know what?" He goes, "You've been, since November 1st, you've been behind the camera." He goes, "You need to get in front of the camera once and just try hunting." And believe it or not, I mean, I got sick that day. And trust me, Aaron, I don't want that to ever happen to me again, because that was horrible. I mean, that's dedication right there when you're puking out of a deer stand, and you know. But I drew that, you know, got the bow drawn back, and I got to harvest. That was a beautiful big 8-pointer that 298 buck was,
yeah,
out there.
Right in the middle of the day, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah, I about 10:30, I guess, you know, right there. It was late morning, I want to say.
Yeah.
So, but it wasn't going to last much longer. I was probably going to be out of that tree stand about another half hour or hour.
Yeah, I remember seeing you doubled over up there, and that's what I was thinking. I was like, my gosh, you know, those guys know the power of sitting in the rut. You just got to sit, You got to put your time in, and eventually good things will happen.
Yep, but I was going to have to take a break and go lay in the ground for a while, though, that day.
Yeah.
If it wouldn't have happened.
Good grief. Well, that's super interesting stuff, Scott. Is there any other tips you can think of as far as all-day sits or mature bucks moving during the middle of the day in the rut?
You know, I just, you know, all the listeners, I can just say, you know, the more time you put in the stand during the rut, the better chances you have to kill a mature buck out cruising. I mean, we've proven that it's just midday is really successful for us, and that's why we sit all day long. I mean, we're using all our vacation. If you take vacation, you might as well just sit all day. I mean, you took a vacation for a reason. People are taking vacation because they want to kill a big buck. So the longer you sit in the stand and the more time you give it during that, you know, certain time of the year, that rut, you're going to hopefully get a shot at a big buck.
Now, has movement you've seen over the years sitting all day, has it increased with weather at all? Or is there a perfect time frame? Or can it really just realistically happen anywhere between the last week of October and Thanksgiving?
I really, you know, I've noticed that first few days in November, Paul and I noticed that we get a lot more activity. I want to say, I mean, checking trail cameras there and looking at your trail cameras that first last 3-4 days of October and that first 3-4 days of November, I think the bucks are out cruising looking for those first hot does. And I think they'll be out cruising, you know, all day long looking for that first hot does. And then usually, like you said, you know, closer to Thanksgiving, somewhere right in Thanksgiving or something, or maybe the week before, we'll see a lot more cruising bucks looking for that tail end, looking for those hot does.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's really when we see the most of ours on public. The trail cameras start lighting up about the 17th, 18th of November. And it lasts for, you know, a good week and a half or so. But everything prior to that, I mean, I killed mine this year on the 30th, and he was up moving at 8:15 in the morning, the 30th of October, excuse me. We always have good luck here, you know, the last week of October and then the latter part of November. But because of the pressure, we don't see a ton of cruising really around, you know, the 3rd, 4th through the 10th. We don't see near as much of it as some folks do. But
and that makes sense, you know. Your public land you guys hunt, you get a lot of pressure that first couple, you know, weeks of November probably.
Yeah, I mean, guys are doing the similar stuff to what you all are doing. They're taking vacations, you know, the first 2 weeks of November, the first 10 days of November. The only thing is that they're all taking it at the same time, and they're all piling in there, you know. And the pressure, those big bucks, they just go under. I mean, I still get pictures of them, and you still see them on occasion, especially on midday hunts. But I think we hunted 7 or 8 days all day from the 3rd through the 10th or 11th, and we might have seen one mature buck between several guys out hunting public. But during October, we saw, you know, mature buck on average about every other sit, and then about the middle of November, we were seeing them almost every sit between then and, you know, the 25th, 26th of November. But I think that just has to do with the amount of pressure in the area. You know, I mean, like you mentioned before, they can get up and cruise. They can lose a doe at any point. And when they do, if you're not out there, you're not going to catch them up moving. So.
Yep, you're correct on that. I mean, when they drop their doe, they're going to be looking for another doe that's ready, you know, and they're going to be out cruising.
Right. How far do you see these bucks moving? When you've got pictures of most of them like we covered earlier. But how far of a distance do they cover? Do they still seem to stay, you know, on the same general property? You guys are just catching them moving from one end of it to the other.
We're seeing, I know all the neighbors across the river and stuff like that. Paul, I don't know what year he shot the buck, that big 10-pointer we call Buddy. He was living on our property on 250 acres or the adjacent property on our side of the north side of the river. He was living there all summer long, and then he just disappeared in October, about the last week in September. And then I didn't know where he went or anything else like that. And then I think Paul, I don't know if that was the fourth or fifth he shot him. when he came through the pinch there. And then I didn't know it until one of the neighbor guys goes, "Hey, I've been getting that buck for the last, you know, all October on night on the other side of the river about, you know, I say about a half a mile, three quarters of a mile away south of the river yet." And he was getting them all the time. So he actually just kind of must have lived on our side all summer long. And then when it came October, I think he just started living across the river there. So, I mean, I want to say probably a good mile of his, you know, corridor.
Sure. And that brings up a good point. You know, that's why I think scouting all year is important. If you find a buck shed, you know, if you figure out where he summers at, and then you figure out where he winters at and where he's at in October and where he's at the beginning of the rut, you sort of connect all those dots. Anywhere where you're connecting could be a good spot in the rut, you know, because he knows where all those doe bedding areas are throughout that entire core area. You know, maybe he's got specific locations in mind in October where he feels safe that he wants to be at. But I think you're in the game if you're anywhere in between those dots in the rut.
Yep, and I think you're right on that. Like I tell a lot of my friends and people I talk to, Aaron, I says, if you're getting a deer in September, October, you know, on trail camera, then all of a sudden he disappears during the rut. I mean, if he's looking for a hot doe, I always tell my friends, I said, he's going to be back on your property eventually because he knows your property.
Right.
So he's going to be coming through eventually. You just got to hit it, you know, at the right time. You got to be in the stand.
Yep. I've seen that too. I mean, and that happens to us every year on public. We'll have pictures of, you know, some bucks pretty consistently in spots all year, but then the latter part of November rolls around and all of a sudden, you know, there's a couple of strangers on there that you haven't seen for 6 months and they're standing right in front of your tree stand, you know, on camera at 10 a.m. in the morning. And that's, like, to your point, that's what you got to do. You got to be in the tree as much as possible. And I know some guys, I mean, Don Higgins, he'll hunt all day long through the entire month, you know, if he has to, until he kills one. And just goes to show you that that's how they're doing it. I mean, you brought up a good point earlier. Everybody gets to watch all the fun stuff on the show, but they don't get to really see how much time you sit in the stand waiting for that opportunity. And it takes a long, long time, some years, for it to happen. But
hey, yep, and you're right. I tell everybody I talk to, I said, you see the 10 minutes of glory, you don't see the 100 hours of pain.
Right. Yep. Well, this has been an interesting conversation, Scott. I'm going to let you get back to the family thing. I appreciate you coming on with me.
All right. Thanks a lot, Aaron.
Yep. You take care. We'll talk at you soon.
Yep. You have a good evening.
Yep. You too.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was an interesting conversation on hunting midday during the rut. If you all want to check out any of Scott and Paul's hunts, look over the main show in the past couple of years. I'll even attach a few links below in the description box here where you all can go and see some of their hunts from these stand locations. I think the main lesson here is in the rut, all bets are off. You've got to find a good stand location and just give it its due. I mean, Damon Detling does the same thing out east in Ohio. He's got a couple of stands that he saves for the rut, and then he just sits them until a good buck comes through the area. And that's a great strategy to have, especially if you've got great access into one of these spots. But that's going to do it for today's episode. I appreciate you joining us, and we will see you next time on the Whitetail Watch podcast right here at MidwestWhitetail.com.